In the Champions League quarterfinals, every decisive moment gives you goosebumps.
I get those goosebumps every time.
Arsenal have been ruthless.
The UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball. GAA.
Do you put Tip ahead of Claire?
I would put Tip ahead of Claire.
Is that because you want to go home?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to a very special football pod. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue. We're not starting with the football this week, are we?
There is the golf pod. It's the golf pod this week, lads.
Yeah, we can't. What was that? Because that was not sport. I have never experienced something like the last couple of days. Trying to keep on top of Augusta. Rory McIlroy securing the green jacket in the grandstand. That is just, it's something, it's on a higher plane. It is not sport.
It was unbelievable. But I'll tell you what, it was the hardest watching I have ever done. I know everyone was all over social media and never say, oh, I enjoyed that so much, it was great viewing. It was so unsettling and uncomfortable to watch. Because you just want him to win so bad and you're waiting for him to almost have another mistake. And like, if he didn't dig it out, it would have been like a character assassination for the rest of his life. Do you know, like, he had to win it. The pressure he was under and to take it out, unbelievable. I honestly, absolutely buzzing I was after it.
Wasn't it unreal? Like, it was, the WhatsApps were flying for 5 hours straight. Like, the build-up to it was, can't remember as much anticipation for a round of golf from, like, even the casual sports fan. It was like, Rory's in the mix here. And against Bryce and that story. And then he fucking duffs the first hole. Double bogey, and it's like, this is going to be hell. He honestly lost that tournament 4 times last night. It was like one hole, like car crash stuff. Like, Jimmy, worse than your chipping around the Lakes of Killarney, I was thinking at stages. And then the next hole, he does something absolutely insane, genius. I honestly was thinking, going to bed, like, was it the greatest sporting event I've ever seen?
Like, I'm not sure we'd ever witness something like
that. But hell, absolute hell during it. Like, nearly broke the telly about 4 times. Like, but it was incredible. Iconic stuff. Like, and you're delighted for it, aren't you? Like,
I think the two best sporting things I've seen now have both been the Masters. Woods winning it after his comeback and McIlroy winning that yesterday. They're both just unbelievable. Like, I can't imagine the sucker punches he got constantly. He had it one, and next thing he ducks it into the water.
How 4 times he had it one.
In the name of God, do you get back up and win again? As you said, he lost it 4 times. Oh,
I think it's excruciating.
If he didn't win, Tommy, say he didn't win that, like.
I don't want to talk.
Like, what, like, he thought. Other meltdowns were bad. Like the US Open last year, missing the 3-footer with Bryson again. Like, honestly, if he didn't win that last night, like, he'd fucking retire, would you? How could he go out and play golf again after that? Like, if he left that behind.
On the 18th, the first time he played the 18th, he could have finished anywhere in my head from first to fifth to that stage. Do you know? Yeah. I wasn't sure if he was going to win or he was going to have a quadruple bogey.
Right.
And then he went to the bunker.
Oh, jeez.
I had a mug of tea in one hand and a glass of red during the 18th, and I was going from one to the other, and my system was just all over the place.
You need a whiskey, Tommy.
Oh, that's what I needed. But I just wonder, like, is it that it's so dependent on the individual? Like, you think of any sporting event, right? Even if it's boxing, like, your opponent can knock you out. But McIlroy was more likely to beat himself. I know Rose was on it and he was sinking putts, but McIlroy was more likely to beat himself than anything else. And the other thing too, he was playing unbelievable golf.
He should have won that tournament by 15 shots. He's a genius. Like, he's the best player at the minute. Obviously, Scheffler's a bit off by a country mile. And do you know what? You laughed. The coverage was Sky do a good job with it. But Laura Davis, who's a character, I would say. I thought she summed it up brilliant afterwards. She was like, he's so loved, and obviously we're biased in Ireland, like, but even in the States, it's like, he is the story, like, and it's like, he's so flawed. That's why people love him. Like Scheffler is incredible, but he's bored as fuck. He's too good. Tiger was just ruthless. Like, he's a killer. Like, Tiger would never in a month of Sundays do something like that last night. Like, but McIlroy, he could do something that, like, my ma in her 70s wouldn't do with that chip on 13. Like, and then he comes back with genius on the next hole. Like, he's so flawed. It's so rare for someone with that talent to be as successful as he has and be as mentally fragile as he is. Like, because that's what, like, that chip on 13 from 80 yards, lads. Like, fucking hell. Like, that. What is that if just, like, an absolute mind fuck? Like, mental collapse. Like.
But contrast it with the iron approaches on 15. After double bogeying it on the first day, well, like what he does on the Saturday and the Sunday, it's reckless. It's genius. It's godlike. And then it's like, absolutely. Oh, well, I think you're right. I think
the iron on 15 is one of the best shots I've ever seen. And then he misses the putt.
Yeah, the eagle putt.
The putt for eagle.
It's just like that. That is it in a nutshell. Yeah. McIlroy.
But the Chamonix then was absolutely butchering the course at the same time. So you can see how hard it is. Like,
yeah. Do you see that? DeChambeau after. Do you see this?
He was still in the mix.
I love that.
Rory said that.
No. DeChambeau afterwards was asked, what did McIlroy say?
What did he want? The fucking pat in the back?
I don't know. He didn't talk to me. Did you try and initiate a conversation? I don't know. Rory didn't talk to me. Obviously. You're chasing the Grand Slam, bro. What do you think Tiger's going to have a chat with you? Do you know?
I nearly reckon that McIlroy had as much to lose as he did to win. Do you know, like, the Grand Slam, you think he has it all to gain. Like, he had so much to lose there. I think his credibility and everything was on the line. He's so good. Well, he was in such a good position if he lost it again. Like, the balls he did to bring it out, I think it was just class.
He can do anything, man.
But like on 11, he's 4 clear, like, and he's just gone birdie on 9-10, and you're going, like, it's over. Like, even a collapse, he's so far ahead, and there's no one's going to catch him. And then Rose started getting red hot, and then
I actually thought Oberg was going to catch him, and then Oberg just collapsed on the 18th. Yeah,
but lads, what TV? Unbelievable! My God!
But did you see? There was something online. It was like, people who don't realise how hard the Masters is, watch this. And it's a fella, I don't know who it was, but he's chipping from the middle of the green. He's chipping down a hill, facing the wrong way from the hole, and just letting the hill take it down towards the hole. But he's literally taking a chip. It's
I've seen you do that on the 18th in Killarney. Like,
well,
as the golf buggy is just floating off into the lake, I've seen you with the sandwich on the green. Like,
when I do that again, I can refer back. I'm going to see who that was.
Yeah. I know, it was Jason Day. You are the Jason Day of the kingdom. Like,
hey, he was world number one before, wasn't he?
Yeah, you were player of the year. It's the same. You're the same team. What a weekend. Was there any GAA on at all this weekend? Was there?
Pod, lads. We'll see you next week.
Well done. When's the next major?
Let's get to the Leinster Championship, right? Because I had a lovely setup. I was there early in Newbridge. Paddy, you were there for GAA Plus. You were catching up with Brian Flanagan beforehand. You had a couple of set pieces with Mark O'Shea. I think you kicked a lovely point as well.
Kicked a couple of scores. That's the most scores I've ever kicked in Newbridge.
Love that. I had the iPad, and usually that's the double screen if there's another GA game on elsewhere, but the Masters was on. So a cluster of my colleagues in the press box had got around me, you know, early on before the game started. And then, as it happens in GA stadiums, the internet went a bit. So, you know, we had to turn it off. But at halftime, filed my report, I looked at the phone and I just went, holy shit. Birdie, eagle, birdie.
I was getting the updates as well. They were terrible, wasn't it? I was like trying to refresh.
One of the lads sat there and just went, I can't believe I'm watching football. And McElroy is doing this.
Was that Sir McCabe?
No. But wow, like let's get to it because the football was good. The Leinster Championship, like I'm not going to say it's alive and kicking, to quote their chairperson from the last couple of seasons, but we got a couple of decent games this weekend. Are we ready to move on to the football, James, or do you want to come back in the golf?
No, I'm done with the golf, thank you. I'd say it was probably the lowest audience of all time for a Sunday game last night.
Yeah.
I'd say there wasn't 20 people watching.
They were under pressure, I would have thought. No, yeah, I think so. But that, on the games, Steve, that was my first time in the redeveloped St. Conlon's Park. Very nice, I have to
Lovely,
say.
Isn't it?
Yeah, pitch still needs a little bit of work, but obviously that's all the building works for the stand. But there was a big crowd in. It was a very entertaining game, wasn't it? To be fair, we expected it to be tight. Kildare probably just about shaded it, but we spoke about the score deficiency was a big thing for them, and Jesus, there was groans by 20 minutes in the first half. The win behind them, they'd four balls dropped short, a couple of goal chances, and you just got the sense Westmeath scores were coming a lot easier. They did a great job, Westmeath, on boxing out Kevin Feely, and Ray Connellan had an exceptional game at midfield. He goes off injured at the start of the second half.
Which that was
massive blow, wasn't it? Like he
for anyone
Rolls Royce in it through that first half of that game. Like,
let's talk about that for a second, right? Because there was a couple of things at play here, and Feely comes into it later on, James. Like, you've often mentioned a thing called a ring of steel, right? This is like, and I know it's a slightly different thing that Keane O'Neill would have brought into Kerry back in the day, and maybe Mayo, and we might see it again in Kerry these days. But Paddy, didn't Westmead have essentially three players around Kevin Feely?
Yeah, Feely was redundant in the first half. Really was, like,
in a sense, nearly obstructing him, but doing enough that David Goff wasn't pulling him for it. And Ray Connellan was coming through on every Kildare kickout. Now, we'll say something about Kildare kickouts in a minute.
Yeah.
But, like, what does that do, Paddy, like, in terms of the momentum of the game? Connellan had the chest out. He was lording it around the middle. Westmeath had their tails up. And Kildare seemed to wilt all around that time. It was really important, I thought, in the narrative of the game.
What we just said around, we spoke every episode this season, how important the midfield is. The kickouts seem to be going longer. Conor McCormick, to be fair, in the Westmead goal, Westmead's kickouts were functioning better than Kildare's. There was far more at the ground, far more movement from that Westmead defence. They were getting those short kickouts we spoke about with Patton the week before for Donegal, those 40-yard kicks, and just securing possession. Whereas Kildare, to be fair, with Burke and goal for them, it just seemed to be, the first half in particular, just put the ball and launch it long. And Westmead had their homework done. They boxed out Feely, and Killellan was able to just absolutely lord it. So it was just a bit more advanced in terms of the kick-out structure and really a set play from Westmead, and they were getting such joy off it. And it's such a platform. You see how quick teams, if you win a clean kick-out or you get a solo and go around the middle, you're essentially in on goal, lads. If you play that right and you go quick, you're in on goal. Like the space, and we've seen it across the weekend, and I know we'll touch on this with some of the other games, we really need to reevaluate what we would deem as, you know, solid defensive structures or a solid defensive performance. You look at, I couldn't believe, like, Antrim score 123 against the All-Ireland champions and still get hammered. You know, the scoring rates, there's just so much more space. But that, if you lose midfield, you are trying to keep the tide out with your defence. And Westmead in that first half, like, to be fair, Alex Burns gets a goal for Kildare.
And brilliant finish.
They needed that score. They got their goals at the absolute right moment. Highland's goal in the second half really turns the tide as well. But for Westmead, the loss of Connellan at the start of the second half, they never really recovered from it. You know, it's not the only story, but it was a big, you know, if he stays on the pitch, you'd have to think they're going to get the job done. But from Westmead's perspective, you know, we spoke about it late through the National League. Loads of good performances, getting loads of good scores. Luke Loughlin was exceptional, but they are losing tight games. It's like they've forgotten how to win games. And that was there for them. That was absolutely there for them on Saturday night.
March 2024, league final against Down, the last time Westmead have won an intercounty game of football. Paddy, you mentioned Luke Loughlin there, you mentioned Ray Connellan. I would have argued 37 minutes on the field, 36 minutes on the field. Ray Connellan was the second best footballer on the field. The best footballer on the field. And I know the pressure's on you on GA Plus. I know you're on co-commentary duty. I don't know whether there's somebody in your ear.
Is there
a devil on your shoulder saying, you got to pick someone from the winning team? But Luke Loughlin was the best footballer on the field. The man
scored
was in the 40 zone.
40 points for play.
He was McElroy on Saturday. He went birdie, eagle, birdie. He was chasing the ball. He wanted it. He was demanding it. 11 points. You give it to Alex Byrne?
No, David Hoyland. I'm not a commentator. I'm not George Hamilton.
No, don't say that. I like your Gary Neville-esque.
Well, it's just because you're in. do you have to give it to the winning team? I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you don't. Maybe I'll know for the next time. But it was in my ear, and I was like, well, if it was me, win, Loughlin is a slam dunker. But if Kildare win, I thought Fien was big in the final quarter, but he was very quiet. Like, say, Westmead did a number on him. Alex Byrne was good, and he had big leadership and a couple of misses as well. I thought Hyland just...
Big moments.
Big moments. As the momentum started this week, he gets the goal, but it's just control of the play as well. Sam McCartan had a similar role for Westmead in the first half. That position, lads, if I was going back playing, I'd want to be that position. It's Sam McCartan had 6 shots, lads, playing wing back. He was like the playmaker, and Hyland was the same for Kildare. It's like what Bugler is playing with Dublin. It's like no one's marking you. No. You start the attacks. But I thought he was so influential in Kildare getting over the line. So apologies to Luke Loughlin. Can you do a joint man of the match? No? Are you allowed to do a joint? I don't know any of these things. You're okay.
No, look, listen. Loughlin kicked, I think it was 4 off his right, 7 points off his left. He kicked the 2-point free from 55 metres.
That was some kick. Jesus Christ.
It really was. But it was more so, Paddy, I felt how he demanded the ball. And he was jinking and turning and twisting. James, you know yourself, right? When a fella is on it, like Luke Loughlin was really on it. And then he goes out on Sunday and apparently wins a High Rocks tournament in Leinster. I know very little about High Rocks, but I thought that was pretty impressive as well. He's Luke a man Loughlin, in the flow. Yeah, on Sunday. Scorpio had it. That, yeah, he went to one of a High Rocks competition on Sunday. This man is in the zone.
He's vibing. Huh? He is vibing. Yeah, he's red hot. He's McElroy-esque. McElroy at his best.
I looked after his. I got an interview with Luke afterwards. Sometimes the losing players, you'll get more out of them in the moment. A tough time to talk, but I just thought Luke talking about how difficult it's been for them trying to get over the line. They're sickened.
Yeah,
they're back in the Tatchin Cup. They might be able to use it as a platform now to move on. A lot of turnover in the 4 teams I saw this weekend: Westmead, Meath, Kildare, and Meath. Offaly, sorry. You know, over the last season or two, huge amount of turnover and possibly glimpses in each of the camps that they have something to build on. Cut Derek Kerwin afterwards as well.
They've been very unlucky this year in terms of some of their results. Like they've lost in the last.
They should have won probably 2 or 3 of those league games.
You've got to be sick of hearing that though.
You are, but it's hard to actually bounce back from. It's like you get into not a habit of losing, but. It almost manifests itself again. Like they need to go on a bit of a winning spree here to get back up and running, because they have all the ability in the world. But like sometimes when you're on that bad run and luck is against you, it's very hard to turn the tide.
Yeah. Heslin was on GA Plus, Paddy. What was he saying about where Westmead are?
He was, and he alluded to that there was like 7 or 8 senior players in the turnover. Obviously, Heslin himself, what an asset he would be with that 2-point arc. Ronan O'Toole, who we said, exceptional player for them, is away travelling. And just that bit of leadership and experience that they've lost. So there's been a big turnover in that squad. We said Westmead were probably coming through as the second best team in Leinster for a couple of years. They never got those big wins. We remember a couple of years ago during the group stages, they probably should have beaten Tyrone, they could have beaten Galway, just didn't get over the line. And then you lose the senior players. And you could kind of see that down the stretch. The substitutes they make, they've 3 shots in a row from their 3 substitutes who all miss. And 2 of them were definitely not great shots. They needed to be a bit more composure. And that's the type of thing, that little bit of experience. Like you say, you look at Kildare's side, Feely, who's quiet for the majority of the game, he becomes so influential down the stretch. And that's where we rely on those senior players and that experience. And that was kind of what Heslin was saying. Obviously very disappointed because Westmead, it's a hard luck story, isn't it? And they've had it. I'm sure that it went into camp. They've had enough of those, like that. was that game there for them to win? I thought so. I thought for maybe 45, 50 minutes they were a better team overall, but when it came, push came to shove, Kildare just showed that little bit of grit and determination. That was the biggest plus for them, I thought. And what a win for their camp. You know, whoever came through that game, you felt it was going to be a big win in the context of the season. And for Westmeath, it's going to be hard to get themselves back up for the Tata Cup, but I agree with you, Jimmy. They need to start winning a few games.
What was the atmosphere like up there? Like, because I think the home advantage, especially in your provincial championships, is absolutely huge. Like, do you reckon it played a factor?
What did you think, Tommy? You're kind of, it's, that press box is silence, is it? Are you behind
it? No, it's not silence. You've got a bit of perspective ahead of you. I'll tell you what I heard, right? And this is, and it was similar in Navan on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So me,
yeah,
like, sure. Paddy, you sent me a text on, and I didn't get back to you until after the game, about how, like, are Meade really bad? Is it the wind?
Yeah.
Like, and it was same with Clare in the first half, right? The noise, like, the Clare fans were just like, oh, every kick out is going to be lumped out to the middle. We're losing it. Where's the zip up top? There's fellas dropping shots short. We get a goal and next thing we get a goal chance straight after it and we butcher it. Like any like the Clare fans were crying out for a moment, a bit of momentum, and they weren't giving it to them in the first half. But then the second half, in fairness to them, I thought Ben McCormick got two big scores back to back. Made it 1-9 to 14. Brian Guerin, Westmeath sub, kicks a point. Then McCormick gets another one. Then Lachlan kicks one to go 16-1, 10 ahead. Alex Byrne gets a free. And suddenly, shot drops short. This is quoted to me so many times this weekend, James, around the grounds in Leinster. What does James O'Donoghue always say? The most dangerous goal, the most dangerous ball in football is a shot drop short. Two goals, one in the Meade game, one in the Kildare game.
You're not wrong, Highland.
Banty Conlon, James Conlon, the smallest man in the field, punched in a high ball dropping short at the end of the Meade Offaly game. And that just, it just gave the zip to the crowd. And with Kennellan going off, there was a couple of momentum shifters. Look, this was Kildare's first home championship game in 30 years in Leinster, in Newbridge. Like, this was a massive moment for, like, you hear Darragh Kerman talking afterwards about the amount that their character has been questioned, the confidence issues, I suppose, in the squad. It feels like they're on the brink and the precipice in Kildare of potentially moving in the right direction or continuing what they're doing for the last little while. And they've got a big game now against Louth in a couple of weeks. We know Kildare are playing a lot of young players. Young Ryan Sinkey there, still under 20s. He started to kick 2 points.
Tommy Gill coming off the bench had a massive
impact. Tommy Gill did very well.
Just speed, penetration, that innocence of youth for Kildare. Like, I agree, Tommy D. And I see what you're saying, Jimmy. Like, there was a big crowd in there. It was a lovely night for football. There was an anticipation around. But if you're not performing, that crowd could go against you as well.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of, you could see the crowd were mad for Roll to get involved. And it wasn't happening for Kildare. Like I say, I think it's, was it McCormick? Not Ben McCormick. Or no, who? Their fourth dropped short in the first half, basically. I can't remember who it was.
I'll give it to you here.
But there was a groan from the crowd. And it was like, the players hear that. The players hear that. And the big thing for Kildare, like I say, it was not perfect, lads. They still had scoring issues.
Yeah.
That they got away with it. Like, the pros outweigh the cons. No doubt about it. That, and Brian Flanagan spoke about it afterwards. That bit of a buzz, a bit of momentum back into Kildare and reunite the supporters with the players and younger guys coming through. It was just a big, big win for them. And the biggest plus, that resilience. That resilience, younger players get the opportunity and experience in that. And you know what? It sets up a brilliant game against Louth in a couple of weeks. Because I know Louth have been probably the standout team in Leinster outside of Dublin over the last couple of seasons. Their progress up to divisions. And Kildare are trying to do something very similar to what Louth did. They got the job done against Laois yesterday. And to be fair to Louth, they've absolutely decimated with injuries. So we know Salmon Roy is unlikely to be available for them. Louth don't have that depth. Tommy Durden, I know they come off the bench for them. But if you're Kildare going into that game, you know, they'll fancy it. They will absolutely fancy it against Louth. Louth haven't been at their best, but injuries aside, I think it sets it up for a brilliant game. But we always say this, like, the Leinster Championship will be an absolutely brilliant championship if Dublin weren't in it.
Yeah, and like Wicklow nearly knocked him out. Well, maybe not.
But
there was whispers in the press box, and that was, Jesus, look at Wicklow's early performance here. Niall Scully got a goal at an important point. I think Wicklow were with the wind in the first half and they missed a clatter of 2 point efforts. They got a couple of big ones then. Oisín McGranagh kicked one. Dean Healy would have been in DCU at the same time as Kevin Feeley on the same freshers team back around 2010, had an unbelievable game for them. I kicked 4 points in the second half. And I just, Conn was the difference. I think Conn and Brian Howard essentially were the difference.
Experience, yeah.
For the Dubs, you know. So Dublin will go on to face Meath in the Leinster semi-final. That game's going to be in Portlaoise. And then Loud and Kildare in 2 weeks' time is going to be in Tullamore, I'm fairly sure. So we'll come back to those games. I want to talk about
it's
Meath.
It's not a double header thing, no? What is it? No, they're trying to get a sell-out Dublin Meath on its own.
I think so, yeah. At 4 o'clock on that Sunday
but
in Portlaoise.
That Kildare Loud game will be huge because that the seedings for the group stages, you get a better seeding if you're obviously a finalist.
But James, neither of them are in the Sam Maguire if they lose. Whoever loses that isn't in Sam Maguire.
It's a knockout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loud aren't guaranteed. Even though they finished sixth in Division 2, they're not guaranteed.
Loud aren't guaranteed.
Unless they get... No. I don't think they can make it.
Drastically wrong, though, don't they?
Because you got Munster. Ger Brennan was talking about this afterwards. Like Clare, who finished third in Division 3... And Tipperary finished in the middle of Division 4.
Clare will be the Munster final. Yeah.
They'll be in the Munster final and they're guaranteed in then. So, that's another
that is
quirk
a huge game
in the system.
Jesus.
We got
for
back
for Loud, potentially a third Leinster final in a row, there was murmurs of possibly being relegated, but look, they put me into the sword in that final group. It's been such a difficult season for them because of so many injuries. We know Loud don't have the depth of other counties, and if they're missing their front liners, and who they are missing, it's such a tough job. So, for Loud, yeah, for their momentum, for them to win that game, get back to a Leinster final, get bodies back, that continues their remarkable progress over the last couple of years with Mickey Hart and Ger Brennan. But for Kildare on the other side, this could be, no more so than we say it with Meath, and we'll get to Meath now, teams in the development, there's games that, like, if you just win this game, it just gives you a belief, weight off your shoulders, gives you that confidence. And Kildare are in that space where if they get this result and get into a Leinster final, what a boost that is for that all those young players. It's a massive game.
I wonder where they'd prefer to be. Like for Kildare, obviously getting out of three was the main objective, surely. Get back into two and even then to be looking up again. But if they go into a Leinster final and get a drubbing, are they almost gone backwards or would they rather go into the Tailteann? And
but added the group stages, really think, whatever about the Leinster final, they get a bad draw on the groups as well. I think every manager, when asked about this over the last couple of seasons, has said, like Tony McAtee with Sligo said it, Desi Dolan when he was Westmeath manager for their year in it, they all say it's better being in there, even though the results are probably not going to go your way in terms of development. I agree, I'd be looking going, you could win, for those young players, you could win the Talent Cup, get used to winning in Croke Park, but I would imagine Kildare want to be in this Leinster final, and they want to be competing in the All-Ireland Series.
Well, I had a conversation with Mickey Hart and Declan Kelly in the physio room underneath Park Tailteann after their defeat, and I nearly felt like I couldn't phrase it any better than I did, but I asked Declan, how do you avoid the arse falling out of your season like it did last year when you were sent to the Tailteann Cup? Because they had a decent Leinster. But
did you phrase it like that?
I actually said it. I actually felt bad saying that in front of Mickey Hart for some reason. But they, 3 or 4 players, and like, you can't blame them, they're young fellas, went off to the States and played their football in the States in the summer or had checked out, really. And it just felt like that. It totally did. They finished bottom of their Tailteann Cup group. They were beaten by London. They were beaten by Limerick. And this is a side who had done really well in Leinster over the last couple of seasons. And Declan Kelly was like, for whatever reason, in Offaly, we feel like we're above second-tier competitions and we need to fix that. We need to do better than that and take this opportunity. So Westmead, Offaly, Louder, Kildare, I wouldn't be sniffing at the Tailteann Cup if you end up in it.
No.
Now, last one.
What was Mickey Hart's reaction? Did he speak in it?
Mickey was caught up more so in the two-pointers, and we might get back to that a little later. Okay. He didn't seem to have too much fondness for the two-pointers, but... Yeah, we might come back to that because I think there's a big conversation to be had around the way teams are setting up defensively to try and stop two-pointers. It's not very good at the minute. Meath, Dublin, Portlaoise, Sunday week, Loud, Kildare and Tullamore. It's the first Meath, Dublin, Leinster semi-final. It's the first meeting of the counties. Pat Nolan had this outside of Croke Park since 1980 when they played in Navan. Like, I just do wonder, it's a big thing obviously going to Portlaoise and Tullamore for these Leinster semi-finals. 20,000 in Portlaoise. Hopefully there's a good crowd there. Same in Tullamore, 18,000 there. Maybe was there an argument to send these two games given the attendances at the weekend to Newbridge and Navan? You know, maybe Meath and Dublin and Newbridge.
Home advantage. Maybe.
No, not home. Sorry, Meath and Dublin and Newbridge. Sorry.
Oh.
And Loud and Kildare and Navan. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Smaller venues.
I think Tullamore could sell out for that, no? I think there could be a massive crowd there. I'd say, I know Meade, we spoke about my length over the last few weeks, whatever that's been going on off the pitch. There must be a bit of a buzz there now. To be like, I know they have two championship wins. Dublin's performance against Wicklow is not exactly sending out shockwaves across the province. So is there a sense of Meade? I think Dublin are going to win, but obviously, but will Meade travel to that game? I think Dublin will have a big crowd.
I know, Tommy, you're probably coming at this from a different angle because you're from Meath, but I think those players deserve a good pat in the back, but they need to be acknowledged because they could have easily folded over the last couple of weeks with what happened. And the fact that they actually came out, delivered a performance. Imagine the dressing room at halftime. They're 10 points down. After everything has happened, they must be thinking like McElroy's, lads, what is going to happen here? And they come out fighting and deliver an outstanding second half performance. And you could see it in every score they get. I don't know who got the goal, Tom, at the end
James Conlon. Yeah.
James Conlon. His celebration after scoring the goal. They were just absolutely mad for it. And you can just tell their attitude was bang on. So I think that those players need a lot of credit and they'll take an awful lot of confidence from it going to Dublin.
I agree with you. I think that was a very personal celebration from James Conlon as well. I think he's been waiting for his chance. He's got himself into good nick. He's had chances with Meade over the years and I don't know whether the mass defences have suited him, but I think with space, he's quite a small footballer, small by stature, big in heart, quality little forward. So we'll see how he gets on this year. The Meade subs actually made unbelievable interventions in this game, lads. You know yourselves from being sprung into a game. They both scored seconds after coming in, Aaron Lynch and James Conlon. What a boost that is. Whatever about two pointers. But when you're sending in two forwards who are shooters and they score seconds, less than a minute after coming in, the two of them kicked the point each. So they made a huge contribution at the weekend. Let's just talk about this game briefly because I know we've got two Ulster games that we want to talk about as well. And we've got to take a break and there's a few other bits to talk about too. Offaly, and we mentioned how good Luke Loughlin played. We'll talk about Paddy McBride. We mentioned Dean Healy earlier. Keith O'Neill, lads, in the first half for Offaly. He's off the charts. You might have seen his two two-pointers in the Sunday game. One on the left side, he kind of curled it over. One on the wrong side, you could say, for a right footer, he clipped it over. He scored a point with the outside of his right boot in the left corner forward channel for a one-pointer in the midst of those two two-pointers. And you were just thinking, Jesus, these boys are on it. Carl Flynn was treading passes like we saw in the league final. Bryant and Highland were playmaking. Shane Tierney inside was lively. Meade, they were causing Meade so much trouble, but they dropped 3 2-point efforts short in a row. And that, I think, was a killer for them. They had Meade at 8 points to no score after 15 minutes. Meade get their first point. Meade's first 3 points came from Keith Curtis in the full forward line winning frees. Won two of them off Leek Pearson. Sometimes these things can be missed, but I thought it was a massive thing. He won three frees in front of the goals. And Meade weren't getting scores otherwise. And you talked about how Derry, playing against the wind, gave an exhibition in ways of slowing the game down, trying to play the old rules, kill the clock. It felt like Meade in the first half were rushing it. They were taking shots when they didn't have to force it. They got caught for three up breaches in this game. So, they were sloppy in ways. Mm. But there was a moment before halftime when the score was 13 points to 2. 3 or 4 minutes before halftime. And you can see Matthew Costello running to the sideline. And this was in the press conference of Robbie Brennan afterwards. And I'm not sure exactly how he answered it, but someone asked him, what did Costello say to you? And Brennan kind of laughed and said, well, he said we had no bite. Well, you know, in a way, obviously they had no bite. But it was Matthew Costello who grabbed the bull by the horns in the second half and really drove at that. He kicked a couple of two-pointers, ended up with 9 points. Young Connor Duke got a pair of two-pointers back-to-back. It just felt like he went birdie, Duke. You know, you're in this golf zone, but the two-pointers back-to-back, give it to the young lad. Let him pull the trigger. And eventually Meade reeled him in. Offaly only scored from frees in the second half. Paddy Donegan with a couple of two-point
frees.
What
was it, Tommy, though? Was the win that big a factor, or was it maybe that we spoke about how exciting Offaly are? And you're keeping updates online, as you see. It's Offaly are... That pace, that penetration we've seen in the league final, they're tearing Meade to shreds. What did Meade do differently to turn that game? Was it just, I know Mickey Hart's frustrated, a bit of a gale force breeze and a bit more efficient with their two-pointers, or did Offaly run out of puff, or was it more physicality? We know how, in terms of physical size, Meade were obviously dominant over Offaly. What was it that swung it?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I think we've learned early doors in this new championship is size will matter, but size won't matter if you haven't got the aggression to use it. And Meath did not have any aggression in the first half. In the second half, though, they did. James, you're laughing at that analogy. I think it's something that we can sell on the pod.
You can football pod t-shirts, size matters.
Size matters. I think we can go with that. But it's how you use it. It's how you use it.
Also true.
Yeah, very true. And I think this is symptomatic of Meath football, you know? Over the last 15 years, we've been a little bit flaccid over the last 20 years in the Leinster Championship. Now it's time to go out and go at the Dubs. Okay, I'm going to stop.
But is that going to be the chat? Is that what Robbie Brennan's asking for the players? Like, because if you're a team, lads, right, that is not something you want labelled at you. That you're
no.
yourself, essentially. Like, and that's, if that was all it took at halftime for Robbie Brennan and maybe some of those players to come in and go, lads, we need to up this here. We're under pressure.
They did
get
though.
The rewards. Is that, do we expect the first 15 minutes in Tullamore in Port Leash on Sunday week for me to come in like the olden days? We're back to Mick Lyons and the likes
and Jerry Mack.
If it works for them, it works for them.
I think, like,
but you know, Tom, in the second half, they did a good analysis in the Sunday game about Offaly's attack in the second half. Where, do you know, when you're under the cosh and obviously Meath had their gander up and they were kicking, Costello was kicking two pointers left, right, and centre, and Duke had one or two as well. Every attack for you then becomes doubly important just to stem the tide and keep the scoreboard ticking for you. And they did kick away a couple of sloppy balls and miss in front of the posts. And for that goal chance where they kind of tried to work the easy goal and it was intercepted and back down the other end over the bar. Like those incidents, you kind of, in the league final against Kildare, they kind of had that innocence and kind of almost lack of experience, and it suited them. But sometimes in come championship games, I think you need to have been burned like they were yesterday in order to learn. Because like, even if they got one or two of those scores, it would have stemmed the tide. It would have maybe just let the midfielders question what they were doing, given Offaly a bit more confidence. And you never know, they might have won a kick out and scored another point. Like, it's mad the chain reaction that happens when you miss or get turned over in attack.
100%. And Meade's first 2 points, 100%. Meade's first 2 points in the first half, they were one-pointers. Brian Menton came from a turnover in defence, a bit of aggression on Offaly's first attack. And you mentioned that goal chance. They butchered it. Sean Coffey intercepted it. And Matthew Costello kicks the point. And that 10-point lead became 8. And then Duke kicks the first 2-pointer. And that's when you heard the Meade crowd. When they saw young Conor Duke, 21 years old, taking a ball from 50 yards out and curling it over. He's got this lovely kind of, I don't know, it's a strange style of kicking it. Like, he just dunts it up into the air. And
his
just
second point was
over.
Different. It was kind of a different kind of a technique. It almost looked off balance, but he struck it absolutely sweetly.
I think he's actually nearly symbolic of the potential in his Meath team. He had these two unbelievable fetches in the first half. He kicks a pair of 2-pointers. I might be unfair on him now, but I think two of Meath's three up reaches, I think he was at fault for at least one of them. Maybe two. It's kind of hard to tell who it was, but it just shows you that there's a rawness there, but there's also there's bits of brilliance in some of these young lads as well, and it would give you a lot of encouragement as a Meath supporter. I do think the Meath fans need to actually shape up now, James. You're have to give them credit to the footballers there. I think the fans,
they're not on
the
board
patrons,
yet.
The patrons, I think that they've allowed the last couple of weeks for the sting to be taken out of it. Yeah, the players have kind of shown that they're moving on, that they're taking control of this. It's their team.
Well, they've won two championship games. There's nothing else they could have done.
Massive credit. Massive credit for them. Like.
They've kicked 155, you know, in Navan. So it's going to show now. And we know how well the Dubs travel or don't.
I think, Tommy, so, I think there's going to be a big crowd at that.
I hope so. Yeah. Lads, we've just touched on Leinster. So the Leinster Championship, as we have said, it's not alive and kicking, but it was a little bit better. And we've seen
better.
A lot of good storylines. So we'll see what it's like in 2 weeks' time. We're going to take a quick break and we're coming back with the Ulster Championship quarterfinals that we saw this weekend. Two of them. We've got Fermanagh down this week and we also have Donegal and Monaghan on Sunday. In Connacht, we've got Mayo Leitrim and we have got Galway Roscommon on Sunday. That'll be tasty. And then we've also got two on Saturday in Munster. We've got Clare against Tip and we've got Cork against Kerry. Some good football to come this weekend. It's up against the Munster Hurling Championship and the Leinster Hurling Championship. So it's going to be a busy weekend of GAA this weekend. The Football Pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. You can check out hashtag the toughest for more. I wonder, do we need to get a golf sponsor on the pod as well, given all the golf we've been talking about the last
week? Nice.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll be back right after this talking about the Ulster Championship.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. But James, I want to get to you on Tyrone and Cavan in a moment. I know you were watching that one closely yesterday. But Paddy, the All-Ireland champions got their defence underway, you could say, of the All-Ireland. Not necessarily the Ulster Championship, they're still chasing one. At 134 to 123 win in Corrigan Park. There was so much talk in the build-up to this game. It turns out that it seemed to make a massive difference to Antrim. Like, Paddy McBride shot the lights out. Antrim were leading at halftime. McBride ends the game with 9 points. A real leader's performance. I just think Antrim deserve a hell of a lot of credit. I know they fell short and Armagh could pull away, but, you know, positive signs for Andy McAtee's side in terms of how they actually delivered on the day.
Yeah, and no more sort of, like we said, with the teams in the Leinster Championship, it's where no one expected Antrim to win this game. They're playing the All-Ireland champions. Obviously, you got a lot of coverage around where the game is going to be played. The right decision was made in the end. It was played in Corrigan Park. And Antrim put out a really strong performance. For Andy McAtee, those players, this is the challenge to have the cups, not for another month or so. You don't even know who you're playing yet. It's kind of keep the show on the road. And there's lots of teams in that bracket, like we said, with Offaly, with Westmead, to not let the season go off the rails. And can Antrim take all the positives from that? Like, they scored 124 against the All-Ireland champions. And this is a wider kind of debate about how we analyse performances in the media or even for coaches or supporters looking at it. And we've seen this over the last couple of weeks. Like, normally you would say, I heard that score on Saturday night as I was going to Newbridge. I was like, what the fuck is going on with the Armagh defence? How could they concede that much? And then you think of it and you look at other score lines. You look at what Wicklow scored against Dublin. You look at what Sligo did the week before, scoring 216 against Mayo. And they're going, how is the Division 3 team scoring that much against them? And the initial reaction to me, it's just really bad defence. But the reality is, there's so much more space for forwards to play in now that what we would have normally viewed as a defensive, you know, to concede 15 points or yes, 12 or 13 points, that's a really solid defensive system. Where it's, teams are racking up, like I say, Antrim with that scoreline, and they're still beating out the gate in the end. Like the game has fundamentally changed in how teams defend. And the biggest thing I'd say from even being there the high perch in Newbridge on Saturday night, I was looking at it, and Luke Loughlin was having a field day for Westmead. And I'm looking, are Clare going to change anyone? Are they going to try and get someone sitting back there in front of them? But if it goes to the next kick out, and Westmead win it, and you look down the pitch, just with the rules and the way the game has gone, he's in 50 yards space. It's one on one. You know, and teams, Jimmy, you know, from your side, if you're forwards now these days, you're going, if you move the ball quickly up the pitch, I don't care if you're Seamus Moynihan, Mark O'Shea, Mick Fitzsimons, Conor Gormley, you are under serious pressure one-on-one with an inter-county forward in that much space. And that is, we are seeing that in scoring patterns across all the games. Credit to Antrim. McBride, obviously, the player gets hot, kicks those scores. But from Armagh's side, they'd be a bit disappointed still to create there's that much space. But also, it's just a box tick for them and move on.
But come individually, do we have good defenders in the game at the moment? Because the last 10 years
possibly
has been ultimate protection. It's like, never were you exposed one-on-one. Never would a man have space. So all you had to do was really kind of position yourself in the right way and be physical, and you've kind of most your job done. No, you're being exposed when someone is running for the ball. You have to be up with them. You have to get the hand in. You have to stop them getting a shot. You have to track a runner running past your shoulder as you're also shepherding the man with the ball. So, like, I agree that defending has fundamentally changed, but the lack of defending that was probably going on for a long time is exposing teams. Because even the first couple of rounds of the National League, I remember thinking, Jesus, this is different for fellas. They didn't know how to do it. And that was with the goalie as well. In fairness, it was slightly different. But, I mean, the game has just been so different with the last 10 years that players are going to have to get used to a completely different form of defending. And it is difficult. God help us, I would not be a defender. I couldn't think of anything worse than being a full back line player right now.
Full back line, yeah. If you get that little playmaker, all the Sam McCartan role that I was talking about for West Mead, full back better, going to get more possessions. But just when you're in the ground and you just look to your left, if the team wins a kick out, there is so little a defender can do, no matter who you are, because it's, I agree, you have not seen space like that since you were playing Fale back in the day. Do you know what I mean? So it's, I think it's just how we view what is a good defensive performance or not is definitely slightly different.
But I remember Petty, right?
Scored him right away.
Yeah. But the kick out as well is absolutely huge. I remember coming into the Kerry team, and we were very strong in the air with Maher, Johnny Buckley, Brian Sheehan, these fellas are in the middle. And the opposition kick out was actually where I used to get an awful lot of my possessions, because they kick it out, we'd win it. My full back line player would probably be after maybe making a run. And, you know, you'd kind of be saying he's probably not going to get it, it's going to go long. And then as soon as you'd win it, the kick was on inside. So the long kick out keeps the inside line in the game so much more. Over the last couple of years, the ball was being chipped out and the corner forward had to work his arse off to obviously stop the attack. But also, they didn't get the ball back for 5 minutes. So he's completely out of the game. Like, the whole thing has just flipped on its head. No, it's just all in the...
McCurry spoke about it yesterday with Sean Cavanagh and Paul Flynn on the Sunday game after that. What's the biggest difference? And his type of player, this has got a suit. He goes, I don't have to run, do lengths of the pitch. You know, when I actually get the ball, I'm fresh and I'm able to play. So we knew straight away when these rules were brought in, forwards around the country were just licking their lips. The less glamorous stuff was being binned. You still have to work hard, all that good stuff. But in terms of running back into your own square and then getting back up the pitch, and by the time you get the ball, you're wrecked. So it's definitely a forwards game, and we're seeing that. You know, it's better. I think it's better. Obviously, we're biased. We are forwards, but I think you saw it again over the weekend across all the games.
James, there was a huge moment in the Antrim-Armagh game. 20 minutes in, Ethan Rafferty, ball drops short, gets stung for a black card. He goes off. Blaine Hughes comes in. A couple of minutes takes for the penalty to be taken. He saves it from Kevin Keenan. He stays on until halftime. Rafferty actually comes back on outfield and then starts the second half in goal. So, like, Armagh obviously having the ability to deal with that in the moment. It's great to have a keeper of Hughes' quality to come on. But then Rafferty is put back in the second half, even though he comes outfield for a few minutes. That was interesting. Grugan, again, so impressive. So important to him. Just that cool, calm head in a really tough challenge in Ulster. Darren McMullen kicked the point. Young Tomás McCormack buried a goal brilliantly, coming up from cornerback as well. So that was Armagh, got the job done. They'll go on to face Tyrone now. What did you take from the Tyrone-Cavan game?
Tyrone-Cavan was, it was a funny game. From watching it, the atmosphere was subdued, to say the least. I think there was almost an air of inevitability about it, which I wasn't expecting. I thought that it would be a lot closer. I thought that Kevin would raise a good gallop in this one, but Tyrone looked physically better. They looked fitter. They were very strong in the tackle and very good defensively, especially in the first half. And that's where the game was. Like, the game finished with 7 points between the teams, but like, there was a lot more between them. Tyrone switched off in the fourth quarter and Kevin got a good few scores at that stage, but the pace had gone out of the game. It was done. I was impressed with Tyrone. I suppose the main thing to take from Tyrone, and I suppose there's always been kind of a hope that McGeary is going to get his form 100% back. He was absolutely outstanding, I thought, in every bit of his play. He scored 3 points, but he was doing more than that. He was involved in everything. He was physical. He was... When he scored his points, he was, you know, he was doing a fist bump and you could tell he was ging fellas up. You can tell he's a real leader in the team. McCurry looked sharp. At times they were blunt in the first half without Darragh Canavan. I think they could have used him just to finish off a couple of moves. A couple of lads, you know, looked a little bit off it. But in terms of where Tyrone are at, I think they look good. They look like they're mentally tuned in. For Kevin, the main standout performer was Darren McVitie. Threw over three great two-pointers and another 2 points along with it. And that kind of kept them in the game. Do you know, like, without their two-pointers, they were going to be in trouble. Like, Keane Madden got one. Oisin Curran got another great two-pointer. But I think the Tyrone switched off, really, and the game was over. Like, at halftime, Cavan had only kicked 4 points. Like, it was 14-4 at halftime. So Tyrone taking the foot off the gas definitely left Cavan back into it.
Massively so. And Cavan, look, Cavan are still missing Paddy Lynch. If he's back for the All-Ireland series and they can combine him with the returning Garrett McKiernan, McVitie's form, they might get a bit of a tune in that All-Ireland series. Darren Canavan, right, missing at the weekend. Eamon Donoghue had a column at the weekend and he wrote about Canavan creating a scoring opportunity from all but one of the kick passes that were played into him during Tyrone's 2025 league campaign. So it was comparing and contrasting Tyrone when they build up slowly through Morgan and they obviously get a bit of joy through that, but how much more efficient and better they are when they kick it quick into Darren Canavan. Mm. Manicky O'Rourke was talking afterwards and said that he's hopeful Canavan will be ready in 2 weeks' time to take on Armagh. Surely he's crucial to them having a chance of taking down the All-Ireland champions.
Definitely, but I still think Tyrone moved the ball nicely. Like McCurry actually is involved in an awful lot at the moment, which is great because he's so clever on the ball. He won some nice ball, kicked in some nice ball as well, and finished them off. But the way the Tyrone are playing, I just think there's a nice little blend of everything. They're not set on running the ball, which I think is key in these rules. They're not 100% set on kicking it long either. They kind of do a kind of between the lines kick passing 20 and 30 yards, which suits them at the moment because of their size of forward as well. Like if you're talking about the two Canavans, McCurry, like they're not fellas you want to be receiving passes from miles out the field. They want those little 30-yard passes. So I think they have a nice little blend there. The only thing maybe is off the bench, do they have that much quality? Mm. It might catch them coming down the stretch in games. But midfield, they're strong. Kilpatrick's got a great goal. Another example of that one where he's running through the middle. The two forwards split. Will I slip it? And he doesn't. He just buries into the bottom corner, which was great to see. Yeah, a great finish. So I'm impressed with Tyrone, I must say, but I was disappointed with Cavan. You know, after a good league, they didn't look at the races at all.
But doesn't that set up that game in 2 weeks' time? Like, that will be a box office game. That Armagh got the job done. They've been very much under the radar in terms of as All-Ireland champions. No one's really talking about them that much. Kind of just tick the box to get out of Corrigan Park, but Armagh Tyrone is a massive, massive game. And I agree with you, Jimmy Holland. McGeary's like a new player for Tyrone. You know, we have not seen anything like his obviously player of the year form from 4 years ago now. So his performance was a massive plus for Malachy Rourke. If Tyrone are going to win it, Darragh Canavan, they need him on the pitch. But do they take any sort of risk with him for an Ulster Championship game as opposed to if it puts him at risk of missing an All-Ireland series? So you'd love to see him out there. That will be a tight match, lads. You know, there's enough green shoots in that Tyrone team to suggest they'll really fancy it against the All-Ireland champions. So, it wasn't a great spectacle, Tyrone Cavan, but there's enough glimpses again that Tyrone are moving in the right direction.
There is. And do you know who's a solid operator? And he doesn't get mentioned that much, but Michael McKiernan.
He's good.
He's been great. The transition for him as well. Like, constantly. He's always involved. No, he actually made a good few mistakes at the end of the game. But like, you can just tell he wants to be involved in attack. He wants to carry the ball. He wants to show leadership. He's a good decision maker. And for Niall Devlin coming up from the back as well, they have that ability to transition the ball from all areas of the field. So I find that game very, very hard to call. Very hard.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. We have our member show later this week. We'll look ahead to the 6 football championship games this weekend. We'll be back on Wednesday for that one. Just want to give a quick mention to the Movember ahead of the game programme that the GAA and the GPA are launching. They're actually launching it around April this year to give people like myself a chance to actually grow a moustache. So it'll take me that long to get one for November. I've been struggling on that front for a couple of years. Yeah, so that, they're just, look, it's obviously a huge campaign in November every year, but they're doing a bit of activity this time of the year to just support players and people in general to talk about their mental health and build that little bit of mental fitness and resilience. So always a good campaign, Movember. So Paddy Andrews, James Donoghue, loads to talk about this week. McElroy got the job done.
lots of quality footballers. It was actually some of the players on the losing sides that impressed me the most. And again, I have to give a mention to young Damien Sheridan. Paddy, caught me in Navan again.
He's on a retainer, is he? Like, how much is paying that kid? Like,
we're going to have to start paying him because Barry John Keane got in touch and said we need to get him on the pod, so we might have to work on that one as well. I just thought, we can just add him in and maybe a member show or something. I'm not saying he's going to take your spot, but he just had this lovely line where I asked him, I nearly was setting him up a little bit. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, well played, T. Well played.
And I said,
I've seen it.
How do you think Meade's year will go? And he says, I think we're getting to the final.
Did he say Leinster final?
I didn't know what he meant. But whatever he meant, I was surprised by it. I said, what? What do you mean? And he said, I believe in my county. They just need to believe in themselves.
Oh,
and I thought, what wise words from a young fella still playing under 11s, under 13s. There,
pork tile to get that painted on the wall.
So, Damien, keep up the good work off the pitch.
Fair play to you.
Fair play, Gosson. And thanks for chatting again at the weekend. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, enjoyed that. Enjoy the rest of your week. And times are busy at the minute.
We'll see you in
a few exactly.
Days.
We'll catch up on Wednesday. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Good luck, lads.
And to everyone listening in, talk to you soon.